Everyone's favorite time of the year is right around the corner, college football season. To celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new players in the center of the action with $200 in free bets instantly if you bet one or more dollar on any college football game. Take advantage of this limited-time offer now by heading to the DraftKings Sportsbook app and checking out all the great promotions and daily odds boosts that they're offering. DraftKings Sportsbook is safe, secure, and reliable, and located right here in the United States, so it's easy to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. And for those in non-betting states, DraftKings is home to daily fantasy sports, with weekly cash prizes and numerous ways to win big. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any college football game. That's promo code THPN to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or, in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 67. And I'm just going to get right into it, Andy. Not messing around here. I have to ask you, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm drinking iced coffee. I'm sitting in the AC and trying to avoid going outside. Today, I feel it's getting a little bit warmer and a little bit more humid after it's been a pretty cool week. So not taking my chances today. You know, just walk the dog this morning. I'll probably go out for another walk after I'm done with this podcast. But for the most part, don't feel like sweating today. I've been, you know, even with it being a cooler week, I was out and about, so I was sweating already. So I'm trying to keep not be sweaty today. That's my main goal, and so far I'm succeeding. But we'll see if I can remain not be, because it doesn't take a lot for me to sweat anyway.
Yeah, no, I literally went outside to go grab like an Amazon package, and I already started sweating. So I definitely feel your pain. It's definitely a lot more humid than it has been this whole entire week. So, let's not sweat today. I think today is also one of those podcasts, Andy, where, you know, it's just kind of where we can just sit back and relax and just kind of talk a little bit of hockey, a little bit of shop. And there's a couple things that I wanted to talk about, and we might as well just get right into it. The first thing I think for me that was glaring this entire week is the announcement that the Edmonton Oilers, signed a $74 million contract extension for Nurse, their defenseman. Now, this is relevant to us Ranger fans because the amount of money that he got is going to have to be comparable and a comp to, you know, what Adam Fox is going to be looking for. And that makes me really nervous that a lot of these teams are throwing a lot of money at their defensemen. And you know, I just kind of want to get your thoughts and hopefully say the right things to kind of walk me back from the ledge here, because I'm getting really nervous that we're going to have like two defensemen making close to $20 million.
Well, I mean, yeah, definitely a lot of defensemen getting overpaid this offseason. I mean, you know, when the Makar contract got finalized a couple weeks back, I mean, $9 million for Kale Makar. Considering some of the other contracts in the league, he's one of the best defensemen in the league, so he should get paid as such. The only players that are ahead of him at this point in time, well, what Nurse was, what, 9.4?
Yeah,
or something like that. So Nurse is now ahead of him, which I don't understand. I think he definitely had Edmonton in a bit of a bind. I mean, but yeah, he's their best defenseman, but just because you're a team's best defenseman doesn't mean you are one of the best defensemen in the league. And here are the players that would make more than Dougie Hamilton today, or excuse me, more than Darnell Nurse today. Drew Doughty, because he makes $11 million. And Erik Karlsson, because he makes $11.5 million. So only two players, because even Roman Josi, who's an excellent defenseman, makes
Actually, no. Yossi makes the same, or no? Yossi only makes 9 million and 59,000. So, yeah. So he's right around there too. But I mean, is Nurse better now than Erik Karlsson? Has clearly taken some steps back. Whereas Drew Doughty has also clearly taken some steps back. But he's also had a little bit of a bounce back the last two seasons in terms of just at least being good offensively, but still nothing what he once was. Subban, you know, is also cooked for 9 million. So outside of Yossi and that those top, like, that's kind of a, should be a cautionary tale, right? Of paying guys that aren't really that good. I mean, Cale Makar is young, he's dynamic, he's on a good team. That's going to be a good contract. And listen, so is Nurse, but I mean, it's a scary contract, man. Darnell Nurse is not Cale Makar. He's not Dougie Hamilton. He hasn't even reached the heights that some of these other players have. So I get that he's important to that team because they don't have a lot of help outside of him or quality defensemen, but that's way too much. Ken Holland's kind of turning Edmonton into what Detroit was toward the end there, with just bad contracts for players that, you know, shouldn't be getting them. As far as it relates to the Rangers, obviously the elephant in the room is Adam Fox and how much he's going to command. Yes, he won the Norris, but I mean, is Adam Fox worth $9 million? Yes. If that's the going rate for a premier defenseman, considering his age, yeah. But should he get more than that? I mean, I hope not. I don't think he... Yes, he's got, like I said, he's got a Norris under his belt, but there was a lot of people claiming that, oh, if Cale Makar had stayed healthy, he would win the Norris, you know. And I a lot depends. Is he a guy that gives them a hometown discount, or is he smart enough to say, if I take more than this number, am I handcuffing this team? And that's the thing. You look at what, so the contracts that they gave, like, how they just gave a contract to Werenski, right? And that was for a hell of a lot of money in Columbus. I mean, they're rebuilding, but I'm pulling it up now.
Yeah, I think they pretty much paid a lot of money. Columbus basically paid Werenski, just, listen, man, like, you're not going to win anytime soon. Just be a part of this process, please.
So, yeah, 9.58. So, yeah, he's around there. And he's, look, again, Werenski's good, but he's also been kind of up and down. And now he's not going to have, that's the problem, is that even if you make this much money, it's like, if you don't have anyone around you to kind of help carry the load, you look worse. You know what I mean? Even if you are a good defenseman, you can't do everything. And that was kind of the Ekman-Larsson thing for so many years. It's that he didn't have much help. And I don't think he was ever as, you know, I think he had one or two pretty, really, really sneaky good seasons, but he just didn't get the love. And then by the time people started catching on, his game had already kind of subsided. So we'll see if he has a little bit of a late renaissance and with the Canucks, but I can't see it because they might have the worst defensive core in the league right now. And yeah, I mean, as far as Adam Fox goes, I don't know, man. I really do hope that they can work something out where he can be smart enough to say, like, I obviously deserve to get paid, but at the same point, do I handcuff my team? I mean, listen, if he makes the same exact as Cale Makar, I can't really be mad at it. Though, right. I see those two as like they're pretty much the two premier up and coming defensemen in this league right now. We'll see if Adam Fox takes a step back. I mean, and it might happen, but if it does, I don't think it'll be a slight, because like you said, even Panarin took a slight step back this year with a lot of stuff going on, but he still is on an insane pace, right? So yeah, you just want him to be in the neighborhood. And yeah, it's scary because it's like, on the one hand, I do feel like for forwards, after the Matthews and the Marner contract have kind of scared. It at first had a precedent that young players should be paid more earlier, but it's also scared some teams that, you know, by seeing the fact that Toronto has struggled to fit in some complementary pieces because their core is making so much money, especially with Tavares locked up there too. So, yeah, but in the meanwhile, it's like we had a lot of defensemen get really overpaid this offseason, and even marginal ones, not even the big ticket guys. But yeah, it's scary. I don't know what's with that trend. I just think this being a monkey see, monkey do league, and seeing Tampa win the cup with just some big defensemen on the back end that can play and skate, that everyone said they look at their defenseman, they're like, is he big? Yeah. He's like, can he skate? I guess, you know, can he kind of defend? He's like, yeah, all right, then I have a quality defenseman. I got to lock this guy up. When, you know, there's so many good value defensemen out there who just kind of get like middling contracts, which is very weird. But yeah, I don't know. It's a strange trend. It's very hard to evaluate how NHL teams and executives see what they value in defensemen right now. And, you know, for everything we heard about the value of a Sam Girard, all it takes is him having like a one hard, you know, maybe having a rough playoff, and then everyone being like, well, see, smaller defensemen can't play in the postseason, when that just doesn't mean, you know, that there's players like Torrey Krug that were excellent, or, you know, in the playoffs and stuff. It's situational, you know? So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too, where it's like people get frustrated when, you know, teams pay for players all based off of what they've done in the past. And now I feel like everyone's, you know, throwing a hissy fit because teams are gambling and, you know, paying guys for potentially what they could do. So it's like, you know, you can't have it both ways. Eventually, a guy's going to be overpaid for something, either what you expect them to do or what he's done in the past. And, you know, overall, you kind of get the same result because, you know, if they don't live up to the contract, they don't live up to it in either situation. And I'd rather have a younger defenseman that you're easier to move overpaid than an older defenseman of which you paid, you know, a longer contract into his 30s and now can't perform. He's, you know, you can't really trade them. It's not like you can sell the fact that, oh, he just needs a new, you know, a new environment, a new team. And, he'll resurface as one of the most premier defensemen in the league. It's just like, I don't mind overpaying for Fox. Fox won the Norris. What he's contributed to the Rangers so far and the success last year that he had, I mean, he's not just one of our best defensemen. He is our best defenseman, and he's one of our best players. I mean, it's hard to argue that, you know, without him in the lineup, we're going to win many games. And, you know, I don't mind paying for him. $9 million is about as high as I'd go, because the 9.5, it's just like now you're getting into, you know, a range where it's a little uncomfortable for me. And you're a defenseman, and I know you play a ton of minutes, and it's probably worth throwing money, you know, at that player. But man, oh man, it's just scary. And you know, he's not like he's built like Victor Hedman, where, you know, he's big and heavy and might not get hurt. I just feel like, you know, you don't know what Fox, you know, his health will be in 3 years. I you know what I mean? I feel like there's just so many question marks to give him any more than $9 million.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm kind of happy with Makar, but some of these contracts teams are throwing out there are kind of crazy.
Yeah, and we're also, meanwhile, Lou Lamoriello got, excuse me, I almost knocked my mic off my desk. Lou Lamoriello got Adam Pellick locked up at 5.75. One of the best pure defensive defensemen in the league. And he got him term, right? Was it like 6 or 7 years? So
yeah,
that's an excellent signing. And I mean, it comes down to the fact that Pellick is not a big point producer, which obviously, listen, points are important, but at the same time, being, if you are one of the best, if potentially currently last season, the best pure shutdown guy in the league, that's definitely worth it. I mean, in fairness though, those guys can take steps back. And I mean, but you know, you have people like Slavin and, Slavin, I don't even know how to pronounce that, in Carolina, who's of that similar, you know, on a similar contract for Carolina, and he's just been solid for the last couple of seasons. And yeah, I mean, the fact that those guys are, it's hard to quantify their value unless you kind of, you know, you hope the eye test looks it up. And some of these guys, sometimes you don't even, until it's pointed out, you don't even really see their worth. But yeah, Pellick was one of the best defenders in the league last year, and he gets locked up at a sweetheart deal. Meanwhile, Darnell Nurse, who was nowhere near as good as, you know, Makar or Fox or Pellick, gets locked up with that number. So yeah, it's a head scratcher. And I mean, you know, I guess that's the hope. And granted, even like the Miro Heiskanen contract is 8.4. That's kind of was hope that he could eventually be, because he's been good, you know, and you can argue that he had that real good rookie playoffs for Dallas, but I don't think he's hit that stratosphere yet. But he's close. He's definitely one of the best, you know, defensemen, or getting in the conversation of being one of the best 20 defensemen in the league. So you hope he can get there. But yeah, that's a smart gamble, I think. That's the type of guy you gamble on. Meanwhile, the Rangers paid Trouba $8 million just to come here. It was like big, you know, right-handed shot defenseman with Snarl, and that was kind of the going rate. Is he overpaid? Absolutely. I mean, can he ever become worthy of $8 million? I don't know if his role now with Adam Fox on this team makes him commiserate of an $8 million player. But I think if he does things well enough, I mean, he can at least have the value of a $5.5 to $6 million player, which would only make him overpaid by $2 million. But like, again, we always talk about, death by a thousand cuts. So those numbers start adding up if you have enough of those contracts where you're slightly overpaying guys. Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's hard to I look at the GMs around the league. It's kind of hard to see how they value. I think they all just kind of had different takeaways from Tampa winning two cups back to back. And some of them thought it was find your biggest, nastiest defenseman and give him money, whether or not he's worth it. So I don't know.
Yeah. And you know what? I was going to make the point that the Trouba contract is a slightly easier to bear now that all this money is getting thrown around for NHL defensemen. So, you know, if you look at, Fox and Trouba, I think they bring different elements. So I'm not totally selling Trouba off this team right away. I still think he can bring an element to this game, especially in the playoffs. And I really would like to see him and the Rangers, especially this year and over the next couple of years, what he's able to bring in the playoffs. If he brings that physical game, I know we've mentioned it before, when he's engaged, he really does become one of our better defensemen. And he just, you can feel his presence out there. So I'm not ready to write him off. I'd like to see what he does. But now, we're going to have two defensemen making in the high teens. And, that concerns me a little bit, especially because the two defensemen aren't, it's not like Adam Fox, who's a one, and then we have a 1B. It's really, Trouba, like you said, overpaid now probably by a couple million. So. Yeah, head scratcher for me, Andy. I kind of you did make me feel a little bit better. Now I'm thinking Fox will probably just make nine, the same as Makar. So I thank you for that, for taking that pressure off of me. But then I want to move into goaltending, because I was listening to XM NHL Network. It was a great little segment, talking about salaries, and especially salaries for goalies, right? And how important goalies are, and how it's sometimes voodoo to overpay for goalies, but if you get a goalie like Carey Price, who's making over $10 million, Bobrovsky's making $10 million. Obviously, he hasn't been what he was supposed to be in Florida, but certainly was a great goaltender in Columbus. Vasilevsky winning two cups, making over $9 million. If you look at the higher paid goaltending in this league, two of the three don't have cups, but you can't really always base everything off of that, because, a lot of the times, these good goaltending, they just don't have the correct team in front of them. So, it just, for me, looking at our goaltending situation, we have two solid goaltenders, right? And if they're making in the $6 million range, or I should say Igor, if he's making in the $6 million range and we can lock him up for term, that's a great contract, for us, especially going into the years of which we should be cup contending and, making deep runs into the playoffs. And, we don't have that $9 million goaltender, but, $6 million is perfectly fine for a starter who's going to be playing hopefully 60 minutes a game, not anything less. It means you're pulling the goalie and losing the game. But you know where I'm going with this, Andy. It's like, people are bitching about what, Igor hasn't done yet, but it's like, do you know how valuable that contract will be if he's a premier goaltender in this league and we have for $6 million and, we're fighting for the playoffs and going deep into the playoffs and hopefully fighting for a Stanley Cup? I mean, that would be huge.
Yeah, and obviously, even at the time, having Lundqvist locked up for the amount of money they had him locked up with, obviously, it's as the salary cap has gone up, even with it being static these days, it doesn't seem as severe, but in terms of total percentage of your cap, and he was one of their highest paid players, it did maybe handcuff the Rangers a little bit in terms of acquiring pieces that they might covet or want, or paying, being able to allure some guys over. So especially considering what a attractive destination New York can be otherwise. So yeah, he's definitely worth gambling on, and you want to get it done sooner rather than later. In terms of the injuries he's had so far, it was a freak car accident. So you can't really, that's really it. But yeah, I mean, he also had maybe that slight thing with his groin, but this last season it didn't really show like it affected him going forward. So yeah, this is the type of gamble that I think it's smart for the team to take. Just try to get it done early and say, listen, you know, before he can, because if he has one more, let's say the Rangers do make it to the postseason this coming season, just they have a new coach, the kids are a bit older, they got some bottom six depth, and then they make it, and Igor has a good season. Now it's like he's got two and a half solid NHL seasons under his belt, and yeah, it's just going to be, that number is going to go up. So he's worth the gamble on, and if it doesn't work out, it stinks, but he is he's as solid as a bet of any to bet on. So yeah, it's just, those are the type of asset moves that definitely make sense, especially with, it seems like the Rangers are in the habit of kind of overpaying for what they want or covet right now, and you have to take the good with the bad. So, you know, I mean, it might hurt to overpay a Barkley Gaudreau, but if you can lock up a Ryan Lindegren at a good number, which it seems like they have, as long as they pair him with Adam Fox, and you gamble on Igor, and he proves to be the goaltender he just has been to date, then yeah, those help kind of offset the fact that you might be overpaying Trouba by, you know, a couple million dollars, you know. So yeah, it's important. You have to be shrewd when you can, but that's the thing. I think a lot of fans also realize that sometimes it's like, if you want a player, it's someone else is going to overpay. So if you want them, sometimes it can work out, but you're going to have to be the one who said, all right, we'll give you what you want, you know? So, yeah. So obviously Igor is definitely worthy of this gamble. And, you just hope that the Rangers do a good job at identifying more players who are worthy of taking these gambles on as they come up through their system.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's a position where, I know you said it before, you don't think about it until you have to think about it, and it's never a problem until it is a problem. So I think Igor is going to be here for a long time, and I'm happy to have him. And, you know, as long as that price is right around the $6 million range, I think it's well worth it. I think that's almost a steal for the New York Rangers. Another thing I wanted to talk about, and I feel like it's inevitable that we're going to be talking about this almost every single podcast until something surfaces, but the roller coaster ride that is Jack Eichel is just nonstop. It's every single week. I thought we were going to go through a quiet week where I wasn't going to hear much about Jack Eichel. But then there's tweets coming where it's like, I want out. They're verified. It's unverified. They're hacked. It's unhacked. It, you know, it's coming from Jack himself. Obviously, there's a bunch of tweets, you know, the tweet that said that he wants to come out. But then if you look underneath it, he's like, oh, his agent said, you know, it wasn't him. But then another tweet comes out saying it is him. I know that was I just butchered explaining that. But, you know, again, Jack Eichel, where is he going to go, Andy? And why is now Chris Drury telling people that the Rangers were never really interested in him, when clearly that's obviously not the case? Like, no, they were interested. Every team would be interested.
This, you know, whenever there's a player of this ilk, I think it's one of those things that you have GMs always play coy, and people do digging, and sometimes they actually find something, and sometimes they just throw mud at the wall, and it's kind of up to them to douse the flames a bit, because perception can drive up offers from the other side or your other competitors. Listen, every team is interested in Jack Eichel for the right price, right? Let's not.
Right.
Obviously, there's teams that can't make it work salary wise, but there are at least a handful of teams that could make it work salary wise, or even could do something creative to get the salary they need. So, but at the same time, if they want the offer to come down, you don't want it out there that you are extremely interested or extremely vested. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of got out of, you know, Valiquette. I don't know if Valiquette's just bored and having fun in terms of tweeting that he feels like he heard someone told him, like, or someone was like, oh, I heard, I was cleaning the waste bin at the MSG training center, and I overheard Chris Drury on the phone with Kevin Adams or something. You know, he slips the janitor a $5 bill, runs to his Twitter or whatever and tweets that. And then you don't know if the Rangers front office goes, Larry, you know, it's time for the puppet to start squawking, you know what I mean? Or just to throw some cold water on this, you know, just, and it's hard to tell, because sometimes it's nothing and he truly is, because I do think, like, I could totally see Chris Drury just being like, you know, like, he's not really a realistic plan for us, and hoping that it gets back to Kevin Adams, that he's like, oh, I might have to make it a little bit more attractive for them.
I have another question.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, I'm just, not to interject here, but I kind of, and I don't know if I'm, this is even going to sound like a real question, but is there a hockey Twitter for other teams that are like, you know, this is happening with other teams? Like, is this happening with the Ducks or LA or Vegas? Like, is this just like a New York Rangers problem?
No, it's everyone. The Rangers were out, and there was a lot of Minnesota Twitter was alight with Eichel rumors, and then remember there was that little bit where Vegas Twitter was alight with the rumors, you know. Right. But then they've all one by one, oh, you know, it's too much, they've moved on, or they did this instead, or whatever. So it's everyone. It's cyclical. It depends on, especially if you have to like throw water on it to get the price to come down, and then the next team kind of steps up to the plate. And a lot of it depends, because we know that Buffalo probably would prefer not to trade Eichel in conference. Definitely not in their division, but within the conference, they probably would prefer to send him out west. But at the same time, it's like, if you do know that if it comes out or somehow leaks out, Larry Brooks goes, especially let's say Eichel does get traded to the Kings or something, and it's the return is whatever. It's like they trade, you know, Kaliev, a first, Adrian Kempe, and someone else. I don't know. Doesn't matter. And then it's like, okay, they got a pretty okay package or it's like not a great package for Eichel like everyone thought, but it's a package nonetheless. And then it turns out, well, the Rangers beat Larry Brooks tweets out, you know, BT Dubs, Chris Drury's offer for Jack Eichel was Philip Hedl, Zach Jones, and Georgiev in a first. And Buffalo fans like, well, that's actually kind of more attractive than what we got from LA. And then all of a sudden there's some heat on the front office. So at the end of the day, is it really worth it to not have to see Jack Eichel's face, that, you know, only see him twice a year as opposed to potentially four times a year, to take lesser assets? So that's the bigger thing. Because even if the Rangers not diving into a Lafreniere or a Kako, you know, whatever, maybe they do finally say, you know what, there's a Kravtsov, Jones, a first, and Georgiev or whatever, you know? So I don't know. They probably would prefer Hedl over Kravtsov, but it's just, it's kind of one of those things where optics are important. So, and it's important even before the deal is made, hence why there's so much smoke and then dousing water on things and people. And then you have the Jack Eichel account and someone's like, this is not his real account. And then Jack Eichel's like, well, yeah, I being Jack Eichel can confirm this is my actual account. LOL, you know, that type of stuff. It's the Eichel situation is clearly messy. They had the whole thing with the statement that Kevin Adams says we're in control and we would love to see Jack at training camp. And then he comes out and say, you're fucking this up and I need to get the surgery now. And I was under the understanding you were going to trade me. And then they have the coordinated media blast where his potential surgeon who wants to do the disc replacement goes on the 31 Thoughts podcast with the statement at the same time. And the longer it goes on, I think, you know, you have to wonder, does Kevin Adams hold as many cards as he thinks he does? It's I don't know, man. It's
well,
the
Andy,
longer
I got
this
some
goes
breaking
on,
news here. I got some breaking news here. I just
let's hear it. Oh, shit.
I mean, it's not really, it's more conspiracy theory, but it's actually true. I just received a text of a tweet by, it's to Ryan Mead.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, about Hedl and not being on I think they already cleared that up, that it has something to do with Central Registry. So I think there was much ado about nothing. About that.
All right. Because I almost had a heart attack.
But that's the thing. Obviously now, we're seeing, we're seeing shadows in every corner with an Eichel trade around the corner, potentially. Because listen, I mean, as adamant as we've been that we don't want Jack Eichel, he's going to be a Ranger. We know this. I know this already. I know. Like, obviously,
are you saying it like to reverse psychology?
No, I'm saying it because I'm resigned to the fact that even though what I want doesn't ultimately matter, and that I do feel like at the end of the day, the Rangers will, even one of their worst packages will be maybe more attractive some other teams, because you have to be able to fit his cap hit. You know, I do wonder, I guess that it comes down to, I do wonder is, because listen, if it was just a matter of the surgery, I think it would have been a lot easier to move him. But I do think there's other teams that are not on board with what he wants to do, or doesn't want to incur the same risk that Buffalo does. You know what I mean? They would say the same thing. It's like, well, it's very strange that.
No. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
Finish no, I was that. Gonna say it's very strange that. Yeah, because you would imagine with that, after listening to that interview with the doctor on 31 Thoughts, that it's just, even though this is kind of unprecedented, it's never been done on a NHL hockey player. It has been done on UFC. Athletes and other athletes in other sports with good success. And if anything, the argument is, A, if you get a disc replacement, if you get a fusion, you can come back. You'll most likely high rate of coming back, but they're basically fusing, you know, some of the vertebra in your neck together. So you have the stability that was being impacted or the nerve pinching, but at the same time, it affects your range of movement in your neck. You can't turn your head the same way with the same way you could. The rotation went into slap shots and one-timers and things is different. It kind of impedes you a little bit, but you can come back. So it kind of hurts your performance a little bit. Whereas this won't, because they're just replacing the existing disc with something. It's a little bit more invasive, because instead of just a simple fusion to take off pressure, you have to literally take out an old disc and put a new one in. But should it work, you will have that same range you had before. And the other good thing is that when you get a fusion, it over time puts pressure on the other vertebra of your neck. So you're going to have to go in and get another surgery like 10 years down the line, or potentially even sooner if it takes more impacts. Hence why Eichel's like, I don't want to get the surgery, only have to get my neck done again in 10 years and then just slowly be someone who can't move their head. Like, screw that. You know, I want to do this. It sounds radical, but it's been done in other things with good success. It's just not, hasn't been done in the NHL yet. No one wants to be the first, you know, go figure.
No, I totally agree, and you know, I know we bring up Jack Eichel every single podcast, but this would be, you know, one of the biggest moves in, you know, Rangers, you know, history. I would imagine the assets that get moved and for Eichel to come in here, it's a huge deal. So we will be talking about this every single podcast, because every single podcast in between, there's tweets and breaking news and comments and just with Larry Brooks, you know, just, I don't know if it's clickbait, but I fall for it every single time. And I just fell for a text live on the podcast and you're dismissing it. So that's good. You know, it's an emotional roller coaster, Andy. And, you know, this season was bad enough. And now the off season, geez, and the Rangers being kind of in the center of it with, you know, the biggest, you know, I guess, asset to be moved this off season would be Jack Eichel, and the Rangers right in the middle of it. And, you know, it's taken an emotional toll on me. As you can tell. Let's see. Do we have anything else really to discuss with the Rangers? You know, obviously the Chris Drury thing, saying he's not, you know, they're really never interested in Jack Eichel. You're crazy. You're a GM. You got to be in the mix, right? You got to make a phone call and just, you know, inquire about, you know, what it would cost, right? And, you know, I feel like you're doing your he's doing his DD, due diligence, you know, by being in contact with Buffalo, and obviously with Drury's history in Buffalo, you know, that he's, I'm sure, you know, in close contact with them.
Yeah. And also, this is not to say that also GMs will call and make offers on players they have no intention of wanting to drive up the cost for their fellow GMs. Yeah. Like, because every now and then you'll hear, like, here are the three teams in on whatever, Vladimir Tarasenko. And it's like, oh, the Devils are in on him, and the Islanders are in on him. And it's like, and the Rangers are in on him. That's weird. The Rangers already have just got rid of one of their Russian wingers because they couldn't pay them enough. So sometimes it's just gamesmanship, and it's like, yeah, we're interested, and it has to go. Oh, there's a kind of like a race for, then it'll get reported. It's like, oh, there's a three-team race. So it kind of pressures teams to up their offers. And then, you know, meanwhile, whichever team is like, I was never going to really pay. Because even if they're like, all right, we want to go with your offer, it's like, ah, we changed our mind.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. It's like, you know what, our cap structure changed. I'm being nickel and dime by this player. So money cap, I thought I was going to be able to use. I can't use. It sucks. So sorry, whatever, you know, Kevin, who's St. Louis is Rutherford, Jim Rutherford, whatever. Yeah. So, not Rutherford. What's this? What doesn't matter. But it's just, yeah, there's gamesmanship on that way, too. So, I mean, like I said, every GM has probably at least spoken to Kevin Adams. Hell, some GMs might say, listen, we're not trading for Jack, but it's like, I sympathize with you, you know, even trying to make good graces for future deals, especially if they're like, yeah, when if Jarmo Kekalainen is like, yeah, I had you know, Panarin wanted out and whatever, Rick Nash wanted out, and this is how I dealt with it. Oh, by the way, I know I said I didn't want Jack, but I wonder what it would take, you know, it would take to get a... you know, well, before he got traded, like Sam Reinhardt, you know, that type of shit happens a lot too. So,
yeah, Doug Armstrong.
Yeah, I'm sure Doug Armstrong. Yes. And I'm sure there's like a giant GM Slack that they're like, they talk to each other in or something. There has to be. But
yeah, oh man, imagine I'd pay access for that again. Way to make money. Anytime.
Oh my goodness. I was thinking, cause like it's subscribing to a Patreon. It's like not even to participate in, obviously, but just to have a feed or to be able to check what goes on in the text chain or the Slack of GMs, I would pay an exorbitant amount of money.
Even if it's like a month later, you know what I mean? Where the news and what they're talking about is irrelevant. Just hear them talk and just go back and forth. Yeah. I mean, and then the live video, even the Rangers this year being in the war room, or 2 years ago when they were drafting like Braden Schneider, you know, just like watching them like on the phone call.
Wheel and deal.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
it's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I love the teams that really commit to that, especially after the fact. It's like, we already did it, so we'll show them talking about this player, that player, you know, in terms of leading up to the draft. And I think that's what I'm going to miss, because as the Rangers now get into competitive mode, you don't have as much, like, the team building aspect is still there through free agency, but for the most part, they're not going to be dealing with so many draft picks and potential possibilities. So yeah, that you kind of lose that, but that's why it's always cool when you get the behind the scenes look of like, we got to jump up and take this guy because they have intel. And that's kind of what happened with the Rangers with why they took Othman is that, or, you know, cause you could tell all of a sudden the Rangers get leapfrogged by Detroit and they pick Sebastian Cosa, the goalie. I don't know it's pretty clear. That means the Rangers were going to take the goalie. They were going to take Cosa before Detroit jumped them. And so they said, all right, who's next on our list? It's Othman. And they took Othman, right? So, yeah, just kind of fascinating to see that stuff, especially in hindsight. It really does help fill in some of the context for what's going on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, for me, I like when the team's already built. Like, I'm an X's and O's guys. I like now putting together my line. The draft is too hit or miss for me. And I know that's your thing, and I love it because I learn actually a lot about it, and I've gotten more into it since, you know, I've met you. But I am ready for the next phase. I'm done with the prospects and, you know, trying to win lotteries to move up in the draft. So you know, I'm just ready to be competitive and go for a Stanley Cup. Speaking of Stanley Cup, there's a team out there, Andy, that I don't know why, but everyone is like, I don't know if it's my perception and it's just annoying me, so I'm taking it to the next level. But why is everyone obsessed with the Chicago Blackhawks? And like, now that Fleury is going to lead them to the Stanley Cup final, like, I'm just very confused on why everyone is in just love with the Chicago Blackhawks.
I didn't get that either. And I mean, there was pushback because like I think it was some beat writer from somewhere in Canada said, oh man, wow, it's like now that they've got Fleury, who just won the Vezina, which is, you know, he might still have some juice left in the tank, but it's like, oh, they got Seth Jones and Fleury and they're getting Jonathan Toews back. It's like, they're going to be like a contender for the Stanley Cup. I'm like, no, they might be a team that gets in but gets bounced in the first round or second round.
Yeah, I can see them making the playoffs.
They could probably make the playoffs, especially if, you know, if I'm looking at
I mean, Pat Kane just doesn't slow down. So, you know, he's always going to be able to carry you and get you wins. But, you know, I just feel like, I don't know, having Kirby Dach healthy is a bigger asset than what you did all offseason.
No, exactly. So, yeah, they could definitely surprise. But I think they've had some good players that could produce in some sense. But at the same time, though, it's, yeah, I mean, they, it, yeah, it's like they have what's killed the Blackhawks. And remember, the Blackhawks made the they made it into the bubble, right? They were in the bubble and they won. They beat the Oilers and to get, and they made the second round, right? But then they, or technically, they made the they've won their qualifying matchup and then they lost in the first round. Right. So, and I mean, obviously, it helps that they're in the Coyotes are terrible in their division. But I think Dallas rebounds in a big way next year. Mini is kind of a will they, won't they? I think St. Louis definitely got better, but at the same time, it's, you know, the Jets are kind of the same. Nashville is kind of still in flux. So yeah, they could sneak in, especially because if there's wild card spots, a bunch of teams in the Pacific stink. The Ducks are rebuilding. The Sharks are still kind of rebuilding. Seattle probably won't be all that good. Canucks are worse. So obviously Vegas, Edmonton will be better, but who knows with, you know, Calgary, again, outside of getting Blake Coleman, failed to do much of anything again. So they're slowly rotting. And so, you know, they could definitely get in, but at the same time, it's like getting in is, are they just delaying the inevitable? It's like almost if they just rip the Band-Aid off. And that's, I think, the thing that freed the Rangers is that ultimately it was a failing experiment. Like if they had won a cup, you know, I don't know. It's harder to move on from McDonough if he was a big part in them winning the Stanley Cup. Or, you know, it helped that, A, they had no superstars. They eventually moved on from Lundqvist, too. Yes, his age was what it was, but if they won a cup with Lundqvist and they might be in Brent, you know, Seabrook, or they finally moved Duncan Keith on only because Duncan Keith said, I want to be closer to my son up in Canada. So, yeah, loyalty is a strange thing, right? So, yeah, it kind of, like you said, yes, are the Blackhawks better now? Probably. But do they still have depth issues? Yeah. Do they still, is Patrick Kane, even though he can produce points, does he play defense? No. Do we know what Jonathan Toews is, how well he's going to play? No. Is DeBrincat good? Yes. Is he a game-breaking player? No. Is, how will Kirby Dach look coming off from his injury? Probably good, but is he going to be ready to be a top-flight, first-line player, number one center off the bat? I don't know. So, a lot of questions. You know, are they going to ship Dylan Strom off at some point? Like, yeah, they have a lot, still have a lot of questions and a lot of problems with their depth. And Seth Jones, again, has not been very good. So maybe he bounces back a little bit, but he's had a couple, two rough seasons back to back. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a part of me, I'm going to make this bold claim, but I think Chicago is going to stink next year. People are just too much in love with them, and I think that's going to hurt them. Dallas Stars, too. I know you said Dallas Stars is going to have a bounce back year. I just don't buy the Dallas Stars like roster. I don't know what it is. They had the weird coaching change. Their star players have to be constantly called out. I know they brought Pavelski in and he's, you know, probably a great locker room guy. There's just something about that team that doesn't, I don't feel a Stanley Cup at all. Like I feel like they're going to have a couple runs in the first and second round of the playoffs and that'll be it. Like that's their pinnacle. So, and their division is way too hard. You're not going to be Colorado. St. Louis, although they're another year older, I think they're one of those teams that they're still on that cusp, right? They're just, you know, their defensemen are a little old. You know, I don't really believe in Justin Falk and stuff like that. So, tough division, but ultimately, if you're going up against Colorado, you're never really going to truly win a Stanley Cup. Okay, Andy, that's all I have. I mean, we covered a lot. I mean, I mainly was concerned about, you know, the cap space. I know they announced something where the cap is going to go up another $1 million. Obviously, every little bit helps, but, that's all I have. I mean, you addressed my concerns. This is like a little therapy session for me every week during the off season, just because the amount of news and rumors and just between, you know, Twitter, and I fall for all the fake news out there in the hockey world. So, and I flirt with all the conspiracy theories. They're taking Hedl off the NHL.com roster for the New York Rangers. So that means he's involved in a trade for for Jack Eichel. So, Andy, you have anything else?
Not really. I mean, the only other thing really relevant to talk about, at least, and it's relevant is a relative term, but the Rangers qualify offers for Tyron and Adam Huska and Tim Gettinger, who have been pretty good for the Rangers in for the Hart for Wolf pack. Again, is there any future for those players on the Rangers eventually? I don't know. Ronning had a nice bounce back year after just not getting off to a good start in the AHL, but he's kind of found his footing last year, so I'm happy for him. The kid is clearly works hard, is a good kid. Huska is, kind of is what he is. He's like an okay goalie prospect, but has, had a slow but steady getting better and better. He's on the slower path, and Gettinger, I liked him when this cup of coffee's with the Rangers. I mean, for a player his size, he can be effective. He's never going to be anything more than a fourth line player, but that doesn't mean he can't eventually make the Rangers one day. Just happy for those three. Other than that, I mean, we're recording this on a Saturday, so everyone knows. Obviously, something big's going to go down tomorrow on Sunday between now and when this episode drops, the second we sign off. But such is life. If something does big does go down, we will, I guess, have to record a little pickup bumper and insert in this episode somewhere. But the offseason far from over, but there's 60 some odd days until the NHL season starts up again. I do wonder how much the stove's gonna get turned up on the Eichel situation. I do wonder if it's one of those things where now out of spite or just out of Kevin Adams feels like he almost has to try to freeze and make team sweat or Eichel sweat, but the more you do that, the closer you get to his no movement clause kicking in, which really will bone them in the long run. We'll see. Well, one way or another, the heat in the stove is going to get turned up, but it just who's going to have their hand on the burner? I guess that's the main question. But we'll see. And who knows? Maybe it will involve Filipetal and Georgiev. But I don't know. Still a lot of unanswered questions.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.